When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Let's begin this morning with Thought Leader Thursday. David Fowler is here, Senior Vice President of Capital Markets at Associated Bank. David, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you for having me.
A little bit of things have changed in the Brexit conversation since the last time you were here. It looks like there might be an extension. What's the headline from Brexit?
Well, it looks like it's the never-ending story, really. We have an extension to January 31st. We have an election coming up in the UK, which looks very likely. Theoretically, it isn't in stone yet because it has to go through the House of Lords, which it will go later this week. But it's pretty definite that we'll have an election December 12th. And hopefully this will come out with some kind of definitive answer. However, I think the odds are probably slim that we'll get anything definitive, and we may have a repeat of what we have right now.
Yeah. I remember Boris Johnson, Prime Minister Johnson, saying we are leaving October 31st no matter what.
Do or die.
Yeah,
huh?
Right. Do or die.
I'd rather be dead in a ditch.
Right.
I guess he hasn't found the ditch, and I guess that we're not going to do. He is, you know, kind of blaming Parliament because in reality, he did bring a deal, the WAB, the Withdrawal Agreement Bill, that was passed to the second stage, which is really just something that allows Parliament to start looking at it. The problem that Parliament had was that the time period that they was allowed to discuss this bill was actually a day shorter than the time given to the Wild Animal and Circus Bill, which covered 19 animals in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
That was given 4 days
wow.
of parliamentary reading. The WAB was given 3. And, you know, because of time constraints. So people are very concerned that something of this momentous importance, you know, needed a little bit longer than, you know, how do we deal with tigers in zoos?
Mm-hmm. What's the level of uncertainty, not only in the UK from a business standpoint, but how is it impacting the rest of the world as well?
Well, I think in the European Union, it's a little less so in that if you look at kind of trade flows, Great Britain and, the United Kingdom represents about 20% of trade flows within the European Union. People have become, I think, much more prepared for a no-deal Brexit now. The last 9 months for the European Union has been one where people have been preparing, and they're generating kind of alternative plans. Certainly, investments are going to be, you know, certainly in Ireland, for example, which will be probably the second most affected country. You can see that I'm just back from there. You can see that there is kind of a general kind of wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
Certain things are slowing a little bit. Northern Ireland has seen nearly complete stop in overseas investment because really people don't know what's going on. There have been a couple of large industries that have actually closed. Short Bus, for example, closed just last week, which is a big bus manufacturer in Europe. So I think for them, you know, we're seeing issues. The car companies, for example, in Britain, both Nissan and Toyota have signaled that they're waiting and seeing before they make any big investments, and which is a signal that maybe they're going to make disinvestments if Brexit goes the wrong way. So I think that's pretty significant. So, you know, when you look at certainly EU growth, like GDP is kind of running in this kind of 1.3-1.5%. You know, it's people are kind of just it's motoring along, but at a very low pace, and certainly at a lesser pace than probably it would be normally.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there are also you know questions about the tariff wars between the U.S. and the EU and that kind of stuff as well floating around. So it's more than just Brexit.
Yeah, I mean, U.S. GDP came in at 1.9%, so we're not too far away from the U.K. at all.
No, and that's down, you know, when you think about, like, first quarter GDP was a lot closer to 3.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're seeing kind of, which may be part of the trade war as well. You know, tariff wars, generally, nobody wins. And we're seeing, you know, we've seen a consistent decline in GDP this year. For the last 3 consumer confidence numbers that came out, each one was lower than the next. I think, you know, there is a certain amount of apprehension globally by consumers. You know, when we look at the stock market here, it's, you know, all the main indices have done really well, but they, with the exception of the S&P making a high earlier this week, most of the indices haven't really changed much since July. And I think there is this kind of general global kind of slowdown that we're seeing.
What, so what's the play for American investors looking into the UK and Europe? Is it one where they are also preparing for the no deal? Is it sitting on the sidelines? What's happening with investors?
I think there's a lot of sitting on the sidelines, really. It's this one is just, and I think people have tried to predict what was going to happen. You know, they've been doing it since, you know, the, before the end of March. And each time, you know, predictions have proved incorrect. So I think people are now just kind of waiting to see what's going to happen. And certainly, I don't think we're going to see the uncertainty lift anytime soon. For, you know, U.S. Importers, so people importing stuff from the U.K., you know, I think you're going to see sterling remain quite weak, which means that the imports will be relatively cheap. That'll make it, you know, easy for people here. I think it's going to be difficult for U.S. exporters into the U.K. But a lot of that will also be predicated on if there's some kind of a trade deal between the U.S. and the U.K. after they eventually leave the EU, assuming they actually leave. So it's very confusing. I think the only thing that's certain is that uncertainty will remain for quite a bit longer.
Yeah. Global finance ministers, I know the IMF and some others, they've actually had a little positive outlook, a little bit more positive outlook for next year. The International Monetary Fund said that economic growth could accelerate next year globally. Do they know something that we don't?
They must, because certainly if you look at, you know, what we've seen in the growth tendencies in, for example, the U.S., in the European Union and China, in all three, growth is declining. And they are the three biggest. So I don't know where they're going to see this growth. And certainly they also said in that report that they were concerned about tariff wars as well and trade wars. And that was their kind of get out of jail clause in this one. So if it doesn't work out, that's why. You know, sometimes the IMF is a bit like your either stockbroker or your realtor. You're like, you know, when they tell you the market's bad, you got to start getting worried because they generally will push an optimistic view. I think it would be nice if we saw 3% growth globally, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, and the trade war feels like it's we're entering the 2020 election cycle now with the Iowa caucuses are just about 100 days away. It feels like that's not going to be settled in an election year, is it?
I don't think so. You know, there are reports that kind of stage one of the deal has been is being papered as we speak. Hopefully that's the case. But I think the markets are going to be uncertain because, you know, as you say, the elections are coming up. And also, you know, if you look at all the indices, the equity indices so far this year have generated between like 15 and 25%, depending on which one you're looking at. We're coming up, like we're starting November this week. A lot of people, I think, will start to say, you know, that was a pretty good run, and maybe we'll just take some profit out of this. And going into an election year, you tend to get people kind of being a little more cautious. So I think, you know, the equity highs that we've seen may be the highs we will see for a little while. And I think certainly consumers seem to be getting a little more worried.
From the business world, it feels like companies are also getting a little bit more worried. We're in the height of earnings season. A number of the S&P 500 companies have reported earnings misses in the last quarter, which would be the third quarter. They've had some forecasts for decreased growth. Their outlooks have not been as rosy as they have been in the past. That's another part of this equation, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, if you look at particularly the people, the companies that have lost, you know, missed by the most, they've tended to be, you know, the large companies that are impacted by the tariff war.
You know, Caterpillar, so, companies like that.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, we have, you know, clients that we deal with in the bank, you know, in Wisconsin that are booming. and can't get enough staff. But part of that may be because, you know, they're in smaller locations where there is the labor pool is smaller. I think generally, you know, we are going to see a retrenchment. And I think, you know, if the really large companies that make up, you know, the Dow or the S&P, if they're the ones that are missing their earnings estimates, that will filter down. And I think, you know, these are the big employers. And they're the people that, the companies that people look at to get a clue as to what's going on in the economy. And if your friend works for a large firm and it gets laid off, you know, are you going to go out and buy a new car? Possibly not. So there is that knock-on effect. And I think with everything else that's going on, I think it may be a time when markets consolidate and consumers basically, you know, keep the money in their pocket rather than spending it maybe as loosely as they might.
Yeah, and I remember what happened last year at this time in the markets. The markets lost quite a bit in November and December.
Yes, they did. They did. I think this year, well, you know, it's a fool's journey to try to guess the markets, but I suspect we won't see a move like that. I hope we don't. But I think we will see a gradual decline as people basically take some profit out.
How much has the interest rate environment played into some of this? I've heard some analysts say that the Fed's decision to raise interest rates last year probably created some of what we're talking about. Obviously, the trade is a big part of that, too. But now that they're backpedaling and going back and cutting interest rates, how will that affect in the months ahead, do you think?
I think that we're getting to levels where, you know, each successive interest rate cut will have less and less impact. Like I think we, you know, you saw, for example, recently with mortgage rates moving down, a lot of people were trying to refinance. But, you know, housing sales are not, particularly around here, are not particularly booming. Mm-hmm. I think that most people who have done the kind of refinancing side, so the consumer side, I don't think there's much left to do. I think from a business point of view, there aren't that many businesses who are waiting for this last 0.25%, and now we'll start investing. You know, I think it's a little bit like pushing on a kind of a wet noodle. You know, there's a limit how far it's going to go. And the risk that the Fed is running by lowering rates now is that if something happens, something bad happens, that's one less thing they have to use in their arsenal. And, you know, we found out in the past that, you know, things can go from really good to really bad fairly quickly.
Yeah. The sidelines aren't necessarily a bad place, are they, to be?
Probably not. Yeah. You know, sometimes, you know, the wisest course is discretion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this may not be a bad time to sit back and just kind of reassess.
It's always good chatting with you. I know people are probably listening right now saying, how can I get a hold of David and have a one-on-one? How can they do that?
Well, the easy way to get in touch with me or any of my colleagues would be to phone our trading desk at 866-524-8836. Or you can always email me on david.faller, that's david.faller, at associatedbank.com.
Come back and see us.
I'd love to.
David Faller, SVP of Capital Markets at Associated Bank. It's our thought leader conversation. Remember, you can listen to more of those conversations at WGNradio.com. Also, head over to associatedbank.com/thought leadership to hear more there and meet our thought leaders. This is the opening bell on 720 WGN.